Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture's Office of Farm to Fork is announcing the Urban Agriculture Grant Program, awarding $11.67 million to 33 projects across California that enhance the viability of urban agriculture. Two types of grants have been awarded. Track 1 is the Systems Builder Community-Based Block Grant for community organizations, which provide between $5,000 and $60,000 to urban agriculture projects in their regions. Recipients of this grant include just over $783 to Agroecology Commons in the Bay Area to uplift and reduce barriers for marginalized farmers by providing farm seed grants, mentorship, and technical assistance. Track 2 is the Urban Agriculture Practitioners Grant for direct funding to urban agriculture projects. The funded projects include infrastructure, workforce development, community engagement, community gardens, and more. $300,000 for Black Thumb Farm in Los Angeles County to provide an enriching after-school experience for BIPOC youth to learn sustainable farming approaches to improve food equity through mentorship, leadership training, and hands-on training workshops. $246,689 for the Dry Creek Rancheria brand of Pomo Indians in Sonoma County to increase indigenous food sovereignty, hosting gatherings to educate on traditional food production, harvesting methods, providing access to fresh fruits and vegetables, highlighting traditional food pathways, and restoring landscapes to include edible native vegetation. All funded urban projects are either led by or serve priority populations as defined by the California Climate Investments Priority Population Mapping Tool. This means 100% of the funding will serve communities that are especially vulnerable to the impacts of climate change and include disadvantaged communities, low-income communities, and low-income households. More than $68 million was requested during the application period, highlighting the interest and need for urban agriculture across California. ProAct is proud to announce that they have achieved organic certification with the California Certified Organic Farmers. The certification solidifies their commitment to providing high-quality organic products that meet the stringent standards set by CCOF and ensures compliance with a strengthening organic enforcement rule that goes into effect on March 19th. The certification process involved rigorous inspection of their operations to ensure compliance with CCOF strict guidelines for organic certification. They are pleased to have successfully met all the requirements and received this esteemed certification, according to the company. CCOF is a leading organic certifier recognized for its dedication to upholding the integrity of the organic industry. The certification further validates our mission to provide consumers with organic products that adhere to the highest standards of quality and sustainability. ProAct is excited to be a part of the organic movement and looks forward to continuing to offer premium organic products to their customers. They are proud to join the ranks of CCOF certified companies that are committed to upholding the values of organic farming and production, according to the company. Azotic Technologies Limited has announced the approval of Envita SC for agricultural use in California by the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Envita SC is a highly effective nitrogen-fixing product that creates a symbiotic relationship with plant roots, stems, and leaves, fixing nitrogen from inside plant cells. Envita SC is one of the most efficient nitrogen-fixing microbes available for use in agricultural applications and has demonstrated outstanding results across a multitude of crops worldwide. The company's Global Vice President Commercial Thomas Chavez says that Azotic has confirmed results of nitrogen fixation of Envita SC with expanding market access in North America. America, Europe, and Asia Pacific. The company has demonstrated efficacy in a variety of crops that ensure significant benefits to growers. Aaron Eddy, U.S. National Sales Manager, emphasizes that this registration is timely as farmers in California are looking for new and effective crop inputs. Invita SC can be applied post-emergence foliar or in furrow at planting, which fits seamlessly with modern farming practices. Azotic is committed to the development and commercialization of technology that supports on-farm profitability and sustainability, according to the company. And the company says, with more than 20 years of academic and field research, Azotic has become a global leader in nitrogen-fixing technology. California led the nation in hemp flower acreage and production in 2022, according to an MJ Biz daily analysis of the recent Census of Agriculture report released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Alameda County, California harvested more hemp flower that year than any other U.S. county with 5.5 million pounds. Hemp farms in California's Central Valley, including Fresno and Tulare counties, produce nearly 20% of domestically grown floral hemp or hemp cultivated for its cannabinoid-rich flower in 2022. According to the USDA, more than 11 million pounds of hemp flower was produced in 2022 by 1,800 American farms, covering about 10,500 acres. California produced 56% of all U.S. hemp flower, which is used to extract CBD and other cannabinoids, including intoxicating hemp-derived THC. California Congressman David Valadao has voted in support of the Fiscal Year 2024 Consolidated Appropriations Act, which provides discretionary resources for six of the 12 FY appropriations bills. Congressman Valadao, a member of the House Appropriations Committee, secured several wins for the Central Valley in the annual spending package, according to his office, including $55 million in direct funding for community improvement projects. Community projects direct existing federal dollars back to local communities through federal grants. Congressman Valadao submitted several community project funding requests. The following were included in the final bill. $6 million for the City of Delano's Well 42 project to create a new city well and treatment plant to provide clean and contaminated-free water to residents. $6 million for McFarland to repave new roads and maintain several roads that are unsafe for vehicles and pedestrians. $3.5 million for Porterville to build a new regional access road. $4 million for the International Agri-Center Way Extension Project in Tulare to increase safety and reduce congestion in the area. $3.9 million for Tulare County's Avenue 56 Farm-to-Market Road Project to resurface 7.2 miles of roadway. $9 million for the construction of a new homeless shelter campus in Bakersfield. $2 million for a new Kings County Community Service Center that will house a food bank, emergency shelter, housing navigation center, and centralized kitchen. $7.3 million for the East Lacey Corridor Improvement Project in Hanford to resurface and restripe roads to increase safety. $5 million to reconstruct the infrastructure of MLK Jr. Boulevard in Bakersfield. $1.6 million for Bakersfield to construct an integrated portable fueling container for the fueling of hydrogen fuel cell buses and electric vehicles. $230,200 to provide much-needed upgrades to Schaffner Senior Center. $1 million for the Seaborne Reservoir Project to provide new surface water supply storage and flood mitigation for the greater Tulare area. $1.75 million for the City of Lindsay to replace an old main pipeline to improve water quality. $3.25 million for the Arvin Edson Groundwater Recharge Project to reduce landowners' groundwater pumping and provide in-lieu groundwater recharge, and $622,000 to provide critical 911 dispatch equipment for the Wasco Police Department Dispatch Center to increase public safety for Wasco citizens. The International Fresh Produce Association is gearing up for a fresh look at the Food Service Conference, which is the anchor of the food service year and designed exclusively for produce and food service. The conference will be held July 25th and 26th in Monterey, California, and will offer the newest food service research and insights, an amped-up women's event, and the expo. As always, the conference features a one-to-one buyer-supplier ratio, ensuring plenty of business-building connections. The schedule features a presentation by Technomic, Food Service Produce Expo, educational sessions, the Women's Fresh Perspectives General Session and Breakfast, Produce Excellence in Food Service Awards, recognizing the best of the best in 9 categories, a networking reception at the Custom House Plaza, a K-12 forum, and buyer sourcing meetings. Registration for the food conference is open, and hotel reservations will open on March 21st. For more information, log on to freshproduce.com. .com.
The Department of Water Resources at the beginning of March conducted the third snow survey of the season, which recorded 47.5 inches of snow depth and a snow water equivalent of 18 inches, which is 77% of average for the location. The snow water equivalent measures the amount of water contained in the snowpack and is a key component of DWR's water supply forecast. Those results reflect continued improvement in the snowpack since the slow and dry start to the water year, which is good news for California agriculture and the state's reservoirs. Dave Rizzardo, head of DWR's hydrology unit.
We're looking at about 104% of average to date, so just slightly above average. But the number we tend to look at is what does that relate to with what we expect by April 1? And that's about 95% of average for April 1. And April 1, your audience may have heard us say before, this is kind of when we expect the peak of the snowpack. So it's how close are we to getting to where we want to be by April 1? And we're pretty close. Now for the Central Sierra, which the Tuolumne, the Merced, the San Joaquin watersheds are all in, very similar numbers, 103% of average to date. And 94% of average for the April 1st average. So again, pretty close to where we want to be. So let me take you back, a year ago, March 5th, of 2023. And our snowpack was about double almost of what it is today. So statewide last year at this time, we were 196% of average compared to 104% of what I said earlier. And for the Central Sierra, this region that's with those watersheds that I talked about, 195% of average. So, almost double of last year compared to where we are this year. But last year was quite an anomaly. I mean, one of the wettest and heaviest snowpacks on record. And in some watersheds, it was the heaviest snowpack on record. So it is a remarkable comparison. But I think more importantly, for this year, we're hovering about average, and we're pretty close to where we should be by April 1. The one caveat is it could get dry. It could get warm here in March. Right now, today, maybe it's not so much. But March is really one of those months where it can go either way. And so sometimes you hear the reservation in my voice and others where we say, well, we're not quite there. And we really want to hope we can get there. In fact, if you ask me, I'd like to be just above average, maybe 110, 115% by April 1, because it's the water content that we're looking at. And ultimately, we want to see the runoff come through to the reservoirs.
The reservation in Rizzardo's voice is due in part to the slow, dry start to the year for snow and precipitation. March will have to truly deliver for the state to meet expectations.
Last year was extremely wet, as we just talked about, and there's sometimes an assumption that carries over to the next year, and the soils the following January are going to be just as wet as they were in the previous April or May. The unfortunate truth now with how our climate has shifted is that we have these extreme hot in dry summers and fall, more so than in the past. I mean, California always has a warm and dry summer and fall. That hasn't changed, but it's the level at how dry they are and these series of years and years and years of drought that we had before the big years. The soil, the water deficit in the soil is still there. And so you ask a great question: was the dry and warm fall and relatively dry start to the winter, I mean, really didn't start snowing until sometime in January, right? It will steal some of that runoff that's in the contained in the water in the snowpack. And it's really hard to quantify. We are working towards improving the types of models that can give us an idea of that. But those are models, and there's really no great way yet that we were able to directly measure the water content or the soil moisture in the Sierra Nevada. We're working towards that technology with the experts in that field. So right now it's models that are kind of telling us, the soils have absorbed some of the moisture from those atmospheric rivers in January and February, so that's good. But the telltale sign really will be in the snowmelt period. And Is the rate of the runoff when the snowmelt starts to happen in April and May as we expect or not? And so that's why it gets back to, like you said, you know, the cautious optimism in my voice is, well, it would be nice to have a little bit above average snowpack, maybe give us that buffer on what we didn't get in terms of the fall and early winter.
Essentially, this reality is all the more reason for the Department of Water Resources, water districts, and the state to continue being cognizant of carefully managing reservoirs.
The water in our reservoirs is kind of like a bank account. You know, we all kind of live paycheck to paycheck, and that's kind of true for our water, especially that's stored in our surface water reservoirs. They are in great shape thanks to last year, and I think your listening audience knows that about as anybody. But we need this year to do its job and replenish what's been used last summer and fall for our communities. And we need to continue that trend, right? And so anytime we have these dry years, we steal from our bank account. And even this year, like you and I just talked about, what did the dry fall do to runoff here in the spring and the summer? Well, it could be that our runoff during that time, despite an average snowpack, could be 15 to 20% below average. And when it'll, you know, so there's a deficit. So good news is the reservoir storage is good right now. And it's in that tough pickle where the reservoir managers are having to release water because it's impeding on the flood space. But they're trying to save every drop they can, looking at the forecasts of what the seasonal runoff will be. But we're also shifting from an El Nino, it looks like, into by the fall a La Nina. And that, too, is going to change how weather comes into California. And you know, nobody has that good crystal ball yet. But it just goes to say, you know, as you're alluding to, this year-to-year management and expectation and how do we make sure we're using the water wisely, because it's no guarantee to get that runoff every year. And again, I think your listening audience knows that probably better than anybody. That swing from year to year makes life pretty tough on these communities.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
The Securities and Exchange Commission omitted the Scope 3 reporting requirement from its final climate disclosure rule. Scope 3 would have required public companies to report the greenhouse gas emissions from their supply chains and affected family farms and ranches. Farmers are protecting the natural resources they've been entrusted with and continue advancing climate smart agriculture, according to American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall. He says, however, they can't afford to hire compliance officers just to handle SEC reporting requirements. International Dairy Foods Association President Michael Dykes says it would have placed a significant financial burden on millions of companies outside of SEC jurisdiction. The proposed rule demonstrated a lack of engagement with the dairy value chain and a lack of analysis on the actual impact of the rule on privately held small entities, he says. Some companies have said they will still require the emissions information from producers because investors, consumers, and other governments demand it. USDA economist Michael McConnell provides projections for this year's milk product and class prices, as well as the all milk price.
We're forecasting prices that are coming off of the recent lows that we saw in 2023 and increasing a bit. However, they're not quite as high as the highest prices we've seen in the past 3 years. Butter and non-fat dry milk, butter, not projecting prices to spike quite as high as we saw the past couple of years, but still pretty strong seasonal movement in the butter price. And NDM, a steady increase in improvement from previous year. Cheese is the one dairy product we're actually expecting year over year prices to be lower. But again, we're expecting the price to come up a bit from the recent lows that we've seen in the past couple months. So with higher butter and NDM values, as well as broadly speaking, stronger cheese and whey. We're expecting class prices to be higher year over year as well. We expect the class 4 price to remain higher than the class 3. The value of butter and NDM continue to be relatively higher than the historical standards compared to cheese and whey. We're projecting an all milk price to be $20.95 a pound in 2024. It's higher than what it was in 2023, but not necessarily as high as we saw 2 years ago in 2022.
USDA economist Michael McConnell. The last 10 years of technology has provided farmers with a revolution of tools to help them be more efficient and make decisions. Former Farm Service Agency Director Richard Fordyce says it all allows for better farm management.
There's a lot of software now that is helping farmers make decisions. It's allowing for better management of farms. I spent about a half an hour talking to one of the drone providers on the third level of the trade show. And just the technology now that's employed in these drones, right? So they're deploying these drones to go out. When it used to be, the drones would maybe treat a problem area in a field, right? Because the capacity just wasn't there. Well, now these drones, they're deploying multiple drones. When that drone operator gets to the field, they already have basically the prescription for that field. And these things are just doing this all on their own. I mean, you got to stop and put a new battery in them and put the product in the tank. But just to think about where we've come just from a drone technology standpoint, and the drones are cool, right? Like, those are cool. But what is even, to me, is even neater is the software that supports that.
Fordyce says growers now know more about what's going on in their fields.
And we can use some historical data to help support decisions. We can use real-time data to help us adjust during the growing season or maybe at the beginning of the growing season. We can see what's happening out in that field as the growing season is happening and react or respond to things that might need to be done during the growing season. We wouldn't even think about doing that at the level of precision that we do it today. There are some companies, several companies, that have offerings that are actually doing precision post fertilizer application. I mean, that's just amazing. And, you know, that's a game changer, really.
And data collection has come a long way.
My hope is we get to a point, you know, just from the FSA side, that as a farmer is planting his or her field and that data is being captured in that system as going to the cloud, all you have to do is just give Farm Service Agency permission to go retrieve that data. So I used to explain this, like, when you're out there planting, you're planting your crop and you're also completing an acreage report as you're doing that. I don't think we're quite there yet, but farmers, and we got to be perfectly clear about this, farmers own that data. It's up to farmers who they share it with. But that data, especially, you know, if you've been doing precision ag and you're at kind of some of the higher levels of technology, you really own some really valuable data. It's important and it's valuable to you as a producer to make adjustments and do the very best you can throughout the growing season. But it's also important data for the folks that you partner with.
Fordyce served as the FSA administrator during the Trump administration.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.